Welcome back to episode 18 of the Run It Three Ways podcast. We finally bring you a new episode after a hectic few weeks for us all. But as they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So we hope you're excited for not one, but two episodes coming your way this week. In today's episode, we take a deep dive into my Boston Marathon and my not so great travel experience home. We find out if Callum won any cash at the Grand National, and Tom talks us through a delicious bagel recipe. Lads, how are we doing?
How are we doing, boys? We're back.
Yeah, we are back. I'm a little bit worse for wear after yesterday, but you'll have to wait and hear about that in a second.
Literally, the one rule of organizing this podcast, listeners, for context, I know we normally set the scene, so I'll do that right now. We're recording on Monday the 24th, so London Marathon was yesterday, and Tom's one rule for this episode was don't mention what happened at London, because this episode is about Boston. And in his
I didn't mention anything.
Oh, I'm so tired after yesterday, but I can't tell you that for another week.
It's not another week. We called it tomorrow, haven't we?
All right. Anyway, yeah, I'm good. I'm good, boys.
Cracking start, lads. Well done.
Yeah, anyway, God, we've lost our to do this. We've been away for so long.
I know. How do we even talk to each other?
This is going well. What I would say is I just want to ask you a quick question, Ben. How many DMs do you think you had to reply to, or not reply to, but how many DMs do you reckon you received on all your platforms combined after you ran 224?
I know the exact answer on Instagram because I woke up the next day to the number of DMs.
Are you allowed to reveal? Like, do you feel comfortable revealing it?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I reckon. Go on, Tom, you have a guess first.
All right. I don't know if this is conservative or I don't know if this is too big. I'm going to say you woke up to 389 DMs.
Oh, I was going to go lower than that, but I am thinking this guy has got 50,000 followers, hasn't he? I was going to say 260, but yeah, so I'll stick with my original guess, 260.
637.
Oh,
so you're...
Oh, God.
Right, oh, if you're somebody who messaged Ben, thanks for being a nice person, but 600 of you haven't reviewed this podcast on Spotify and given it a 5-star rating. So if you've got the time to message this guy, all right, get onto Spotify and give us a 5-star rating, please.
That would be much appreciated.
That is quality. Well, Ben, it seems fitting that you should probably take us through it then, mate, because, 600 people are on tenderhooks waiting to find out what happened.
So, Boston is incredible. I'm going to start with my training the week of Boston Marathons, 10th of April. Let's find it here. My last session was 4x4 miles that I did down on the trusty treadmill. And this is a pretty intense workout, but not too much volume in the week before the marathon. It was 4 miles at pace. No, sorry, 4 miles at marathon pace into 4 miles at half marathon pace. And I did that 4 times before the marathon, but it was a good session. Felt really strong, apart from towards the end, I started to slack a little bit. But other than that, a really good last session. The next day I got out for a little bit of a recovery run, 11 kilometers at 5 minutes per kilometer pace. Tuesday evening, did a little family plank off, had the family round, hadn't seen them in a little while, had a nice takeaway.
What game was this? So you've got the family round. You just thought, right, well, what was the takeaway? Chinese? Curry? What do you have?
We had Indian.
Right, oh, curry. Okay, so
yeah,
you've got the family round the table. You've ordered a takeaway. I'm guessing probably eaten the takeaway before the game, correct?
Before the game, yeah.
Yeah, so rather than pulling out Scrabble, Monopoly, you know, dare I say it, Cluedo for the adventurous, you've thought, let's do a plank off.
Yeah, I don't know what the game was. I can't remember the name of it now.
How you get? Is the whole family down? Are we talk like everyone's down doing the plank at the same time? Yeah, or is it like rounds.
Mum, dad, sister, Charlie, everyone, even extended family.
A belly full of Indian. You've done a plank. Are you all right?
An hour after, but yeah.
Here's a good one. Here's a good idea. If anyone can beat Ben's time, actually, should we just do an open competition for a plank off? And whoever out of our listeners can prove that they've planked for the longest, we'll buy him an Indian from their local takeaway. We'll order it and deliver it to their house.
I think we should have a bigger time frame there, so some people who are really committed can actually train to get a good plank score.
Right.
So okay. I think if we set it as like, I don't know, what race is coming up, maybe by like night of the 10Ks or something, 20th of May. That gives people 3 weeks. 3 or 4 weeks, so you can train a little bit first.
Cool. Well, let's put that out there. Let's put it out into cyberspace on the Instagram stories and all that jazz. Plank competition to win a local Indian takeaway of your choice.
Yeah. Just
film it all and post it on YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not for the family. Not for the family, just for you.
Yeah, just for you. But you've got to have video evidence, right? Don't be shy. Get involved.
There are going to be some cracking videos. 10 minutes of just some random bloke planking. Anyway.
It's premium content.
Great content. And we'll put it all on our Instagram channel, every single entry.
What you can do is you can blur your face if you prefer, if you're like a school teacher or something.
Go on, Mr. Jenkins. Go on, you can do it.
Right. Before we go on a massive tangent there, Wednesday was a rest day. Thursday, we'll see in 4 days. And bit of a spoiler, I was spot on. A couple of seconds fast per K, but on that same Thursday, I did 15 minutes of core, a bit of a lighter session. I didn't want to completely skip the strength and conditioning side of things. And then we flew to America. I say we. I flew out there with a couple of Tom's colleagues from ProDirect. I was joined by Lewis, who's a camera operator, video guy, head of what's Dan's job title? Brand manager, something like that.
Dan is brand manager of ProDirect Running. And we should also mention that I think we've said on before on the podcast that Lewis Collins is a pretty nifty runner himself, 200, 400.
He is indeed.
So 21.68 for 200 and 47.74 for 400. So he's a big
old hang
boy.
Around.
No, he can move, bless him.
And just on while we're talking about ProDirect staff members, this isn't to go and open up a big can of worms, but the amount of messages I've had from sports shoes about the getting this little race together has actually, you know, it's seriously got legs. Like, people have been mentioning the one-on-one matchups, who they want on each leg. they've been picking up some criticisms. I think Dan Franks especially wanted me to mention, Tom, that you labelled him as a 5K, 10K man, but he's actually got a really solid 800, 1500. So,
he was telling me that this weekend. I know we're not allowed to talk about London Marathon and blah, 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 but I had a chat with him. He told me in person he was a bit annoyed. I called him a 5K, 10K guy because he reckons he's got big Lewis Collins over 800 as well. 154 is right.
Yeah, so we'll be. I've got an idea of how we can really kick this into motion, but I won't share it on this episode. We'll save it for another time.
Nice.
Anyway, on with the show.
So on the Saturday, so we flew to Boston.
Sorry to interlude, but again, I'm asking the questions that people want to hear. This is a genuine question that I had from someone, and I thought this was actually something I've never thought of, but a really great question. For people that are doing races abroad, so like when you went and did Osaka, or you're on a long-haul flight where you're going to get a meal, okay?
Yeah.
Not a meal, Keres, an actual meal, right? You're probably flying like 1 to 3 days away from the race. Do you eat the plane food? Do you eat the plane food or not? Like, do you risk eating the plane food?
Yeah, I eat the plane food.
You're talking to a guy that put cream ice cream before a 5K PB. Of course, he eats the plane food. He eats plane food and all.
I eat the plane food as well. I've never even thought about the fact that it might not be like the safest thing to, like, everyone says stick to your normal diet. Well, my normal diet is not a microwaved veggie lasagna or whatever I'm getting. So I've never considered it. I actually love when the food arrives. I eat every little last bit.
Exactly, mate. I'm eating everything.
Just a bit. Going on a lot of tangents, aren't we, Ben? But tell us what the meal was. You might as well. What did you eat on the plane?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
There's
now.
There's no way you can remember this. It was like 2 weeks ago.
I haven't got a clue, mate.
Oh, that's a little bit disappointing.
Interesting. Yeah, sorry. I've probably got a photo of it.
Who did you fly with? It was the carrot.
American Airlines.
Nice.
But shall I carry on my week?
Yeah.
So, yeah, as I was saying, the Friday was a travel day, so I didn't get any running done. I think we went straight to the expo when we got there. A little bit of content for the ProDirect YouTube video, which is coming out tomorrow, I believe, or the same day of the release. We had a little look today, didn't we, Tom? And it looks, pucker. Good bit of content. Excited to put my name to it. Hello?
Tom, are you there?
Yeah.
Tom,
what happened?
Are you on your phone or something, Tom?
No, what happened?
Oh, Ben just addressed you. He said, like, oh, I'm really excited to get it out on the YouTube channel, and you just went dead air.
Like, almost, no, like thanks,
you were, it was good.
Almost like you were angry that you weren't on the Boston trip. You were like...
Did you not hear me? I said it was good. It's very good.
Oh.
Oh.
Snake.
What are we going to do? Are we doing this bit again, or are we going to keep this in there?
No, no, keep it rolling. Keep
no,
it rolling.
Keep it.
Let's let the pro director know that show your hostility towards his mini dog.
It's a great video. It's about, what, 18, 19 minutes long. It shows Ben in all of his preparations in the build-up to Boston. You've got a lovely little interview in there with him. Yeah, top job it is. Bit of Lewis Collins screaming at you on the course.
It's what more could you want?
Yeah, stuff of dreams it is.
But 2 days before the race, so on the Saturday, I did a 5 kilometer shakeout run and some strides. On to the day before the race, this was a moment. This was Seth James Damore's group run. He was doing 5K shakeout before the big day, the big Boston Marathon. And I decided to crash his pie. And that was a really nice experience. Seth, somebody I've looked up to in the YouTube content side of things for probably like the last 5 years. I've watched his daily content on and off for quite a long time. That was a good experience. Took Dan along with me. Nice little 5K. Nothing too crazy the day before the race.
It was true love.
I'm just going to ask that.
Oh, we haven't got true love in the building. Damn it.
No, unfortunately not. And then that takes me on the Monday, which is the day of the Boston Marathon. Absolute dream day. Everything went pretty much to plan. Where shall I start? Start with waking up and going down to the race. I think that's probably a good point.
Don't start with when you're asleep, otherwise it could be a long episode.
Yeah, that's a good point, mate. So I woke up at 5 a.m. Went down to breakfast, had the usual porridge, had following me around with a massive camera, so I'm getting some funny looks at this point, but we just went with it. I had porridge with a bit of maple syrup and my 160 Morton mix. Again, Morton, hit me up. And then we drove to the finish line, because Boston's a point-to-point, so you have to get to the finish line, jump on the buses, and then the bus takes you all the way out to Hockington, which is obviously 26 miles away from the finish line. And then you run from Hopkinton back to Boston. Got picked up on the bus at 6:45 and the race started at 10 a.m. So quite a long period of time between actually leaving Boston. Hadn't really thought about that, but luckily I packed a coat, so it wasn't too cold.
When you're obviously most people, right, if you're waking up for a race, if you're racing at 9 o'clock or 9:30 when the gun goes off, you might be up at 6:30, 7, something like that. And then by the time you've had breakfast and traveled to the start line, there's really not much dead time. Like it's very rare that you've got hours and hours and hours to kill. And how does that work with you in terms of like the adrenaline and stuff? Because normally when you wake up, you've got that, your heart's going pretty much immediately, right? And you're feeling like the race day energy. If you've then got to get on a bus and then you've got like 4 hours, like in the video that you mentioned that people will see tomorrow, you mentioned that you've got like three hours or something to kill when you're actually there already and ready to go.
Yeah.
How do you manage that and keep like focused and keep the energy high? Because I think I'd get tired and start feeling a bit like lethargic and agitated if I had to wait that long.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I hadn't really thought about it until the day of the race. We got on the bus at 6:45, and when we arrived in Hopkinton, it was about 7:45, 8 o'clock. So still 2 hours to go till the start line. But I took some gels, I had a banana. And then when I got to Hopkinton, everyone is basically in the sort of athlete village. So that's what they call it anyway. Everyone goes to a quiet spot, puts a little mat down or something, and just basically sits there for an hour or 2 hours. I actually found like a quiet little, it started to rain at this point, so I was quite fortunate to find like a doorway to the building of one of the high school buildings there. Oh, what was that noise?
Yeah,
sorry, that was my email. That was my email.
No worries. So yeah, found a quiet space. I think before the marathon you just want to be off your feet, so you're as fresh as possible for the latest in the race. So yeah, does that answer your question? Just sort of chilled out basically.
Yeah okay, yeah, that's you all over. That is, I'd be terrified. I think I'd be chewing my fingernails off.
Yeah, everyone's sort of in the same boat though. So the guy actually who was sitting next to me, people kept coming up to me and saying, "Oh, good luck, Ben." Like people who had watched a YouTube channel or followed me on Instagram or something like that. There's only like three or four, but by the time the second person came up to me and wished me luck, he was like, "Who am I sitting next to here? A famous runner or something?" And I don't know how to explain. No, I'm just some bloke who films my running and puts it on YouTube. Met some really nice people over in Boston, actually. Lots of American subscribers, which I didn't know I had. So that was nice. It's always nice to meet people that have followed and aspired to run and all that jazz.
No, I had this experience with people when we were in Copenhagen, and I was surprised like how many people like recognized you, or when we were on the plane out there and the people behind us like tap you on the shoulder. I'm like, "Are you Ben?" And then
it is getting pretty crazy.
Yeah, like some like lovely older woman came over and wanted to take a picture of you for her son, didn't she? It's nice.
She did indeed. It's really nice.
What is so good is apart from that jaunty guy that lives in London, you have such a unique look. Like, like people can't really get it wrong. Like, "Oh, is that Ben is running?" Like you, the way that you look and how you've branded yourself and the channel, it's very obvious if it's a running related event and it's someone who looks like you and wearing the things that you always wear, it's like, ah, that's got to be him. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it avoids the doubt of like people hiding around the corner and being like, "Oh, you know, could that be a celebrity? Could that not be?" It's like, no, that's, you know what I mean? You're not second guessing. That's Ben is running, mate. Look at the Varga cap.
And everyone shouts, "Ben is running," literally when they walk past me. And that's it. I'm like, "Yes, I am not running at the moment, but yes, thank you."
People who don't know you must think that's very strange, right? That people are just shouting, "Ben is running." But it's funny you mentioned jaunty, Callum, because our paid social manager, you might remember her from a few episodes ago because she bought me a McPlant. Do you remember that back in the early days?
Oh, yeah.
So she does all of our paid ads for ProDirect, and we did like a thing with jaunty for Adidas, and then we've obviously done bloody loads with Ben. And she thought that you were the same. She literally thought you were the same person. It's great. I don't think you look that similar, but you are getting more tattoos now, Ben. So you're closing in on him in that
exactly.
Regard. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
Before the race, then we got called up per corral to the start line, which is about a mile from the athlete village, and then they slowly call up like the red wave, which is the first wave. So they started with the red wave, and they were like, "Everyone in corral one and two, can go to the start line." So I was expecting just to walk down to the start line, get into the right pen and be ready to go. But as it said, right, you can go through, make your way down to the start line. Everyone started sort of running down to the very start. So I obviously naturally, you'll see in my YouTube video, was like, "Oh, we're running, are we?" I hadn't actually done a warm up at this point. So I basically used the mile to the start line as a bit of a warm up, just run it down with everyone else. To get myself in a good position, get into my corral, go to the toilet, get my extra layers off, that sort of thing. That all went really smoothly. I went into my pen, my corral, or whatever you want to call them. I noticed that the elites were warming up right at the very front where I was due to get into my pen. And I quickly rushed through two layers of security, getting a little bit of video for my YouTube video of the elite sort of doing their warm-ups and stuff. And I was like, "Oh, Kipchoge must be." And then I saw him come back up the hill towards the start line, and he was like having a joke around with some other athletes. And I was like, "Right, this is my chance." So I literally just squeezed, gave him a fist pump, and then head into my corral. And I thought I was going to get in trouble for doing that, but actually everyone didn't even batter an eyelid. So I was like, "Oh, decent, got a cheeky bit of content." Met the goat himself. I wished him best of luck, and he carried on. So
that will forever be known as the kiss of death,
the fist pump of doom.
I know.
I took his energy.
He broke the record when Ben Felton fist bumped him. He absolutely detonated.
Yeah, he couldn't handle the hills, but he ended up running 2:09, didn't he? Came sixth, which was a bad day at the office for him. So the elite score first in Boston, I think about half an hour before the mass start. So the elite men went, then the wheelchairs went, and then followed by the elite ladies. They sung the equivalent of God Save the King in America. They sang it twice.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is, mate.
How you've worked it out. All the... Star Spangled Banner, isn't it, in America?
I know, mate. I had no idea what was going on.
Do you know the words, Callum?
How does it start? I've heard so, but in America, they absolutely love it, don't they? So before all of our races, they'd be doing it. And I remember this one horrific singer. If anyone from the NE10 conference is out there, you know the guy I'm talking about. He's this announcer, and he's a really good announcer. He gets the crowd going, but his voice is terrible for singing. I just remember him being like, you know when people who try and sing add like those, I don't know the musical term, but like they kind of play with their voice a little bit. He's going, the Star Spangled Banner. And everyone's like looking at themselves like, oh my God, I want this to end. Like,
God bless him. What a guy. Why not, eh? Sing your heart out.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, also like, you know, look at the crowd. They're not enjoying it, mate.
Read the room.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway, so Ben, they sung that song that you couldn't work out what it was, and then what happened?
And then the gun went, and I was on the very start, well, maybe on the second row of the mass start. And the gun went, and the first sort of 5K of the Boston Marathon is like completely downhill. I'm just having a look here on Strava. The first bit is minus 10% gradient, drop into more like a minus 5% gradient. So it feels like you're on a roller coaster, like you're just running downhill and it just doesn't seem to end. I can remember feeling at the time like something wasn't right on the day. My arm drive just didn't seem right. And I thought it may be because I was wearing like a belt with gels on it. As the course leveled out a bit, I realized, oh, it was just because we were running downhill. So the group that I sort of got amongst, and they said, I remember them saying, if everything goes well, we're going to be aiming for 218. And it was at that point I've got myself into a group that's going to keep this pace up, even when the course levels out a bit. So I consciously dropped to the back of the group and eventually let that group run away from me. And that was probably the best decision I made on the day, because it allowed me just to settle into my own marathon pace. And I didn't really have a group for the rest of the race. So the first 10K I was in a group and then basically ran solo. I went through the halfway point in, what was it?
Just before you do that, Ben, I was just going to say, I think what you've said there, like as a fleeting comment, is actually really important for anyone that's doing any kind of road racing, because often we, and like you, even you yourself have said in videos and stuff before, like, oh, having a group is really good. I run so much better when I'm in a group. And I agree. Like, if you're with people in training or racing, like, of course it is beneficial, but often like you often feel like, okay, so the group is going a certain pace, so I must stay with the group regardless.
Yeah.
And over the course of a marathon or even a 10K or something, how you can finish in the same time as someone but not run it in the same way. You could start faster, start slower, attack hills, you know, relax on hills, all that kind of thing. So I think what you've said is actually pretty important, of like, I reckon the reason you ran so well is because you did what you wanted to do in your way. You could have quite easily done what you did a couple of years ago in that ultra race you did and just thought, oh well, I've got to keep going with them now, you know, I'm near the front. And then you might have blown up and not run the time you did. So, yeah, I know you just said it's a passing comment, but I actually think that's probably the key to why you did so well, to be honest, just doing your own thing.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so too.
What you did in Copenhagen first marathon as well, where you dropped like a 305K at, 31, 32K into the race, was it? Something like that. Yeah, you could have easily got caught up in that because you are Mr. Full Send himself normally. So, yeah, I respect that. So it's good. He's learning, isn't he, Callum? It's bloody.
He is. He's a changed man.
Yeah, quite like it. Quite like the new Ben.
Ben. To be honest with you, I thought back to Valencia Marathon, where I just went for it too much. I've come all the way to Boston. I'm not prepared to just like let that happen again. So I knew it was going to be downhill, but I didn't know how much. So I knew I wanted to go a little bit in the first half and then try and hang on in the Newton Hills area. So if I'd have carried that on, I would have ran 224. So I can't have lost too much time in the second half. Then you come into the area of Newton and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hills to navigate, and the last being the most brutal of the lot, which is called Heartbreak Hill, if you're not familiar with the Boston course. That I got to the hilly section of Boston feeling really good still. When we got to the hills, I could sort of push on. sort of in terms of relative effort. Throughout the race, I was sort of splitting my watch every 5K, and I was always trying to keep it in and around that 3:25 per kilometer, no matter the terrain. So when the hills came, obviously I had to work a little bit harder. Heart rate probably went up into the high 180s. And then on the downhill sections, you basically could recover, get your breath back, and heart rate would drop again to low 170s. And then you basically prepare yourself for the next big hill. It was quite a good challenge. Enjoyed the sort of variety that the course offered. And Heartbreak Hill was pretty difficult, but it only lasted maybe minutes of intense sort of effort. And then there was a lovely maybe 4 or 5 miles back down into the central Boston. So a downhill finish. And then the iconic turn. You go turn right onto Hereford Street, turn left onto Boylston Street. That was the moment on the course where everything just came together. I had a look at my watch. I saw that the elapsed time, that was the first time I'd seen the elapsed time on the whole course, because I was just focusing in on that 5K split. I saw it was around 2:22 at that point. So I knew I was on for a great time. I'd been dreaming of that moment of coming around that corner onto Boylston Street ever since watching the marathon last year. And yeah, finished the race pretty strong. No stomach issues. Had enough for a little bit of a sprint finish. I say sprint finish, I probably maxed out around 3 minutes per kilometer, but it felt like a sprint after all that way. Dead chuffed with the result, and felt really strong throughout, which yeah, is always great. Probably the first marathon that's felt that comfortable in terms of, obviously it was still really difficult being a marathon distance, but I didn't deteriorate too much towards the end, which was a really nice feeling.
Yeah, I think that's the key with the marathon. It seems from looking at, like, if you look at the statistics on the results of people who achieve kind of good times, it's the lack of variance in the pace changes. There's a thing on Instagram, I'll have to try and share it on the podcast account, but someone's compared the kind of top finishers at London from this year with their 5K splits, and then what's the variance in those throughout the race. And I think Phil Sesserman was something ridiculous, like 0.7% or something. It was like crazy how consistent he was throughout the whole race. And the people who tend to be more consistent obviously get times that they want to get. So I think that's the key with you, is like you're saying, oh, it didn't feel like it felt that hard. I think what that means is like you just weren't in a world of pain because you didn't go off too fast. You see what I mean? That's the same with 5Ks, with 10Ks, with anything really. It's kind of like the races that feel the best are normally the best results, even though you feel like it should be the opposite way around. Like the faster you run, the harder it should feel. It's not always like that, because when it just all clicks, it comes together, you're feeling fit, you're feeling strong, you've paced yourself well, you get to the finish, and I bet you were kind of like, that was really hard, but like not as hard as I imagined 2:24 to feel, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. I think running 2:28 in Osaka was harder because I felt the wheels come off with 5K to go. And I was like, right, I've just got to absolutely give it everything to get to the line. But in Boston, it was like, just maintain it, stay in the 5K split that you're working on. Definitely pacing myself in the early stages of the race really helped when it came to those hills and the Newton.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. I'm really proud of you, mate. Well done, because you deserve to get a good time like that, I think. And to do it at Boston, you must be motivated to think if you can get on a pancake flat course and you can get a little bit fitter, then you know you've got some good barriers ahead of you to chase down to get under. So, no, that's really good. I'm glad it all came together for you, because there's nothing worse than...
Mate, thank you.
Well, I would imagine, I've not been in this situation, but I would imagine there's nothing worse than making a whole series about what you're training for, what you're doing, putting all the effort in, and then some variable going wrong on the day, whether it's down to you or it's just down to, you know, weather or nutrition or whatever it is, and just, you know, having a bit of a shit one and thinking, oh, just, you know, spent months building up to that and now it's gone wrong, kind of thing. So I'm glad that it clicked.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, lovely. I think the other thing as well is, I can't remember where I heard this or where I read it, but they took like the best marathon performances and which marathon it was, like which number it was that they had done. And it was something crazy, but I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was like by far the more marathons that those people had done, the better they got at the marathon. Obviously there's anomalies to that, right? Like you saw it, yesterday with Kiptum. But I think you're just getting used to the marathon as well, right? This is you're only going to get better at it and learn the distance better, make better decisions within the race. Obviously, you can't control every factor, but it just feels like you put yourself in the best possible position with the training you'd done, the mentality you had during the race, and it all came together for you.
Yeah, it certainly did, and I was very, very happy with the time and across the line. Had a nice, well, to be honest with you, just let myself eat whatever I want, drink as whatever I want, and have not run much since. Probably done about 5 or 10 running, which we'll talk about in the next episode. But yeah, dream race. Everything went to plan, apart from the flight. Cracking time in Boston, and probably would actually consider doing it again. I know it's a tough course, but you can run fast if you. But I reckon if you get to that sort of 30k point before the main hills sort of kick in, then it's a. And I think that's probably where Kipchoge struggled a little bit.
He said he had a problem with his left leg, didn't he? He said my left leg wouldn't lift up. That's what he was saying.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen, but with every like press conference he's done since the Boston, he asks him like what happened. He basically answers a completely different question. So I don't know if he's just been told not to talk about that or what. Yeah. An interesting one.
He's been an interesting character since then, hasn't he? But there's I don't know if you saw the footage of him in London over the weekend, where he was just walking up the stairs to get onto the stage, and he was proper hobbling to get up there.
Really?
He looked like a mortal, like a mere mortal, one of us, trying to get up there, like holding onto the banister on the side. Yeah, he looked like an old man.
I reckon he's got a sacrum stress factor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to be fair, he's talking about his left leg and not feeling like he could lift it up properly. That's exactly how I felt at London. Like I just couldn't knee drive, just wouldn't do it.
We'll have to get him on the pod.
Yeah, I'll see.
I'll get him to that sports clinic that you were at last week. I'm sure they'd give him a free MRI. Do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe.
What happened on the way home, Ben? Ben, what happened on the way home? I'm intrigued because I know you, obviously, your flight was a bit messed up, but what actually happened?
Yeah, nothing too crazy. Just got to the airport and originally saying it was delayed by 2 hours, which is absolutely fine. And then as we were about to get on the plane is literally there with all our suitcases in it. The pilot was taken ill and they didn't have a replacement pilot. So the flight ended up getting cancelled. And this was at probably about 11 o'clock at night. 12 o'clock by the time we got back through security. So there were a lot of distressed people. And long story short, had to for an extra 2 days and fly home via Chicago, which if you don't know the geography of America, it's in the wrong direction. So
you have to go
2 hours in the wrong direction. Yeah, it was a bit of a nightmare, to be honest. But the flight from Chicago back to London was empty and I had myself and I literally slept for about 4 or 5 hours, so can't complain too much. Get my tattoo, which I wouldn't have got if I hadn't had that delay. And we actually filmed a little bit extra for the Pro Direct in sort of like a wrap-up of the Boston Marathon, which again we wouldn't have filmed had I not been delayed for the extra. It was annoying at the time to get home sort of on the Wednesday as planned. And I was working at the London Marathon Expo the week just gone. So I had to literally fly home to Heathrow. I landed at Heathrow at 12 o'clock on Thursday night. And then the Friday morning, I was working from 8 till 8 p.m. at the London Marathon Expo. So, yeah, I've had a bit of a whirlwind of it over the last sort of week, 2 weeks. I'm going to enjoy a good week at home. I probably won't get too much training. I was probably going to give myself a week, but I think 2 weeks I think is going to be better for me just to completely reset and think about what's ahead in terms of racing, in terms of content, in terms of just getting the life back to a bit of normality, to be honest with you.
Again, just asking the questions that people are going to want to know. Are you getting any compensation for this or what? 2 days extra in Boston?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. And I think...
Mate, you've got to follow up. Someone's got to be following up on that, surely. They're making you stay 2 extra days. You've got to invoice them loads.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I reckon so. But ProDirect will sort out that in terms of speaking to American Airlines, British Airways, whatever, and try money back. But they looked after me well, so I just ended up staying 2 nights in a better hotel. So it certainly could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Tom, make sure that ProDirect pass some of these this compensation back onto Ben, please.
Don't worry about that. We'll sort
out. Yeah, I know what these lot are.
They
like.
Look after they'll me. They look after me.
They'll be lining their pockets with some extra carbon shoes, no doubt.
We'll pack it in. We take great care of our boy Ben.
Yeah.
He's our prized possession.
I know. Well, on the next episode, we can discuss some potential contenders that might swoop in for Ben's allegiance. But we'll save that one for the next.
Hey, will we?
Yeah, we'll save that one. Oh, that's made it sound so much funnier, but Ben knows what I'm referencing, don't you, Ben? You know what I'm saying?
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, God, it's like, well, that was so weird. So as we're talking now, my laptop, a notification has just come up from Sports Shoes saying, have you had a chance to review the Vaporflies that I bought from them ages ago? So
you love it.
That actually did just come up as well. So weird. Right, should we move on to my week then, folks?
Yeah, go on.
Go on then.
Right. April the 10th, Monday. This was bank holiday Monday, actually. Charlie McCarthy came round to my house. He'd been at home for Easter, and he doesn't live too far from Cambridge, his family home. So he came round so we could film a few bits, and we went for a run. We did 7.66 miles at 7:20s, which included 6 times 12-second short hills. Yeah, it absolutely
lashed. Just for content's sake?
No. I do these every Monday. He also did take a video, so I guess it doubled up. It absolutely lashed it down on this run, literally from start to finish. I felt like I was getting waterboarded by the rain as I was trying to speak to him.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know, aggressive. Monday evening, I doubled, went out at 7 p.m. and did 4.34 miles at 7:03s. And this was I did about a mile, and I bumped into a bloke called Ian from CNC. So we ran the rest of it together. So it was pretty good to have a bit of company. I normally don't on an evening double. So yeah, that was a good Monday. Kind of, how many miles is that? 11 or 12 miles on Monday. So pretty solid. Tuesday, I had a session in the evening as usual. I had 20 times 300 off 25 to 35 second rest, which was 100 jog. So the main group session was 16 300s off 60 seconds, at a little bit of a quicker pace, but I had the reps. It needed to be a bit of a tougher aerobic workout, so I had slightly slower reps. I was doing them kind of 47 to 49 seconds, but off a really short rest. So yeah, basically a fartlek of 45 seconds on, 30 seconds off, essentially, but done on the track. And yeah, mentally pretty hard workout, but physically felt pretty good. So yeah, solid one bank there. Only a short workout, to be honest, five miles on the track. The stuff off short rests, I've been finding as the weeks have gone on that I've significantly improved over kind of the recovery rate, which definitely shows that I'm getting fitter in that department. So that's pretty solid. Wednesday, Alice had Wednesday. My girlfriend had Wednesday off work, actually. So rather than just doing one longer run, I split this into a double so I could go out with her in the morning. So I did 5 miles in the morning at 8:40s.
Has she got a big race in the calendar?
She hasn't. She's actually only ever done one race. She did Cambridge Half Marathon last year, and built up for it and did some running, but she's not really keen for it. She just enjoys running, goes to the gym, does little gym classes. She just does it to stay fit, to be honest, and just for, like, you know, I think often people that work an office job are more of a sit-down kind of work environment. It's always nice at the end of work or in the morning to get up and, you know, get some fresh air, to be honest. That's what she mainly does it for. But
that makes sense.
Yeah, if she ever wants to, she's got a top tier coach nearby.
And he only charges
Nick Bester
£25 a month.
Yeah, that's not me. So it's so funny. Because I have set her some like coaching when she was doing her half marathon when I was in America. So obviously, like, we weren't living with each other, so I couldn't just write on a piece of paper. I was like having to send it over. So she is like on my Training Peaks account, and different athletes have them categorized based on like what they're training for, and hers have had to add it to a separate category of like, yeah, just dead in the water, not training anymore. cast her aside because you know she's doesn't follow the plan.
Can we get her on the pod one day, Alice? Would she be up for that?
She'd be class, to be fair, but she'd like. I think the problem is if we respectively get, this is the danger with guests as well. As soon as we get other people in the pod, people are going to realize how bad we are at the pod, if you see what I mean. Because other people are going to come on, talk all this good stuff, give some insightful things, make people laugh, and then they'll be back to just us three and think, oh, this is a bit crap actually without the guests. we've got to be strategic. On to Thursday, I had another double on Thursday. I had 8 in the morning, 8.22 miles at 6.36. Really sunny one, off-road run, really nice run, that one. And then, oh God, this Thursday, I've just remembered what day this was. So I've done this run in the morning, 10.32 a.m. So I've got back, what is it, about an hour. So I'm back around midday. Alice's parents were coming round to Cambridge because they had the day off. We're going for a walk, so obviously I'm already braced for that. You know, I've just done a long run in the morning. I've got to go for a walk. All right, it's not the end of the world. Don't mind walking. Then what I didn't realize, what I didn't anticipate, is on this walk, we're also going to the pub for a lunch. So, all right, okay, yeah, pub lunch. This will be lovely. Anyway, I can't remember. What did I eat? I had some it. Let me think what I had. I don't know, but I had a starter and a main anyway. Big old meal. Like, you know, when you're walking back and you're like, I need to sit down. Like, I actually feel full right now. And as I'm walking back, it dawned upon me that this morning I'd only run, I had a double to do and I'd only done 8 in the morning. So I knew at some point, like, I was going to have to go in the evening. But if I went too early, I would have literally just thrown up everywhere because I was so full. So anyway, I went for my run at 9.07 p.m. which you might be thinking like, oh, you're that just forcing commitment. Mileage. Like normally I would be like, oh yeah, you just like, I'm just forcing the mileage. Like what's 3 miles at this point? But like, I don't know why, but I actually felt like, oh yeah, right, I'm ready. Like I actually really want to go for it now. So anyway, I did 3 miles at 9.07 p.m., which was 20-minute jog. So that was my double for the day.
That's predator behavior, that is.
I don't know what that means, but it's not behavior that I would recommend to anyone. At 9.07 p.m. you should be winding down, ready for bed, not doing exercise, that's for sure.
You're only out there for 21 minutes though, so you're back home by half 9.
Yeah, mate, but you know, then you got a shower, brush your teeth. I don't like going to bed with wet hair too often, you know, I don't like that feeling. So
shave it off, mate.
You got those sorts of problems. I'm sure you don't go to bed with a wet mustache, do you, Ben?
Depends what you've been up
to. Whoa. Yeah. Do you not have a little shower cap for your mustache in case you don't want
to? Oh, yeah, of course.
Like a gum shield.
Anyway. I just put my finger over it while I'm in the shower.
You've got like oils and stuff for your mustache, Ben. Do you take it that?
I haven't.
No? Oh, but if there's a sponsor out there, I'll definitely start oiling his mustache.
Yeah. Bit of man cave. Yeah.
Right.
You heard it here first.
Friday the 14th, I had a track session. Did I? Oh, have I got my days mixed up here? Hold on a minute.
On the 14th? Oh,
no, sorry, yeah. Friday the 14th. That's right, isn't it?
Track session, mate, yes.
Yep.
You got some
Friday the 14th.
1200s, 400s, and 200s.
Yeah, I ran to the track in the morning, which I normally cycle to the track and do my warm-up when I get there. But for whatever reason, I think I was short of time, to be honest. So I just wanted to run to the track. So did that warm-up slightly longer than usual. And then, yeah, my session was 1200, 3 times 400, 1200, 3 times 400, 1200. And then a faster little 200, 300, 200 at the end. So basically the 1200s were about 60, 320, 321, 322. So what's that? 67, 68. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Have I just made that up? Yeah, 67 so about or 68.
Five, is that your 5K pace?
A little bit slower. Yeah, around that. Yeah, I think I did them about 321, 322. So 67, 68, a bit slower than 5K pace. And then I had the 400s were a bit closer to 3K pace. So they were all 64s, 65s. So yeah, basically 5K, 3K pace work there. and yeah, not too long a rest. So I only had 40 seconds between the 400s, but I had 3 minutes after 1200, so nice long rest. And then finished with a 200, 300, 200, so some faster reps split up, which were kind of 25 for the 200s and 39, 40 for the 300s. So yeah, pretty sharp stuff. Like, that's much faster than any race pace I'm going to have. But good to get the legs spinning. So yeah, that was a really good session, actually. I was pleased with how that one went. Left feeling pretty accomplished, because on paper I thought it was going to be pretty difficult. Jogged home.
Quick question. With these workouts, how are you remembering this level of detail?
How do you mean? Well, this one was... Well, yeah, I don't know. Let me think. How do I think about it?
Do you write it down? Do you have it on your phone that you can check between the rests? Or...
No, I double check like just before. So obviously I have it on my phone so I can check like if I forget before the session. But usually with these sessions, like this one was by myself, so you know I do need to remember it. But often with the other sessions, I've like spoken about it to either Nick, my coach, previously, so it's kind of in my mind, or I've mentioned it to the other people I'm doing it with and kind of explained, okay, we got to do this, got to do that. I mean, this specific session wasn't actually that hard to remember because it was all pretty consistent paces. 1200. The 1200s were supposed to get a couple seconds quicker each time, and the 400s supposed to be the same pace. So that's like pretty easy to remember. But in general, I think I'm just used to it. Like, Nick always gives me loads of different pace reps and types of things that he wants to do, and I just kind of look at it and remember. But good question, because I've not thought about that before.
Yeah, you see people, I see it all the time on Instagram, people who write like their sessions down on their hand, even though it's like 12x400 or something, they'll write like paces down and like rest between reps and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's good point. I've always found it really easy to remember sessions, regardless of how intricate they are. I just absolutely drill it into my skull before the session. But yeah, good question, Ben.
Yeah, I think it can be hard. I don't know. It depends. I think it depends what types of reps it is and how, you know, how different the pace changes are as well. Because I always try and break down every rep into like, even if I've got a 300 or a 400, I think about what the 200 split is if I'm doing it on the track, because then I know what I need to check, right? So if I'm going to run a 64, I am thinking, okay, that's 232s, if you see what I mean. And I'll do that literally with, you know, if it's a 1200, I'll be thinking of the 400 split. You know, if it's a 2K, I'll be thinking of the 1K split. Like, so I think I just find ways to break it down in my head. But yeah, good question. And if anyone does struggle with it and can't remember sessions, what do you do? Because that would be interesting to know, because maybe some of the people that I coach, I give them these sessions, and then for all I know, they just like don't have a clue what they're doing once they get there. But hopefully not. So that was Friday the 14th. I traveled back home to Leeds actually that night. I've just realized that's why I ran to the track and ran back, because I had a train to catch. I traveled back home to Leeds on Friday night, went out for a nice little family meal, no planking contests, unfortunately. no competitions of any kind, actually.
Where did you eat?
I went for an Italian. I went to Rico's in Oakwood. Not as good as it used to be, I'm afraid, this time, but the lasagna is very nice. If anyone finds themselves there, I would recommend. Lovely, lovely place. It's been there, like, that's the only home I ever remember living in. So however many years I lived there, you know, 18 years, 20 years. And that's been there for as long as I can remember. So must be doing something right, Rico's. Unnecessary level of detail there from me, guys. Sorry.
No worries. I think we both switched off there, but carry on.
At least I'm self-aware enough to recommend that wasn't my finest bit of content. That was Friday night.
Listen, someone from Leeds might listen to this who's never been there, or someone might just happen to be in Leeds for a long weekend or something, and they'll be like, you know what, I'm gonna have the lasagna at Rico's. Do you know what I mean?
But like, if you are that specific person, don't go out of your way to go to Rico's, because there's a lot of better places you could go. It's if you're in Oakwood and you need somewhere that you don't need a reservation for, you just want to walk in. So if you're in that very specific Rico's is the place for you.
Brilliant, mate.
Anyway, so Saturday morning, got up nice and early, got the train to Liverpool. And this is where I'm going to actually bring in the listener shout out for the week. So I was on my way to Liverpool because I was going to the Grand National on Saturday, which cracking event. I'll come on to that shortly. But I got the train from Leeds to Liverpool in the morning. And as I got on the train, there was, you know, a fair few people there, everyone suited and booted. You got some people with beers in the hand, whatever. I was just having a coffee. Got on the train, and then I'm looking through my phone, and I've got a DM, and it's to the podcast account. So anyway, I've swiped, opened it, and this guy called Joe Firth, shout out Joe, I presume you're listening, he messaged me saying, en route to Manchester Marathon this morning, whilst hoping for a peaceful morning train, I end up amongst the crowd of rowdy national goers, including a certain Mr. Callum Elson. So anyway, this guy's seen me on the platform, you know, Joe, must have been getting in the zone for his marathon, so he didn't say hello or anything like that. And boarded the train. Mate. Yeah, it must have been. I must have looked so intimidating. And anyway, he replied later that day, and he ran 2:38 for his debut marathon, which he was really pleased with. So shout out Joe, who was on the train to the marathon and saw me on my way to horse racing. Thought that was a nice little story.
It's a lovely story.
I like that.
So I didn't actually run at all on Saturday. No training, because I was on my feet all day anyway, walking around. I was drinking, eating, that kind of thing, and there wasn't really any training that could fit in, to be honest.
It's a good point, right? Because you're a big dog, or you're definitely teetering on the edge of big dog status, right? With the races that you've got coming up and whatnot. Mm-hmm. When you go to a social occasion such as this, do you fully let your hair down? Are you sinking pints and, you know, having a good time, or are you still like? Have you still got running in the back of your head? Have you still got future races in the back of your head? Are you like keeping it calm, cool and collected? Or are you going full northerner?
Yeah, a mixture with this. So
how do you have a mixture?
A mixture because it's my general principle. So basically, like, it depends how long away I am from the race. So for example, like the time of recording, London Marathon was only, you know, I've got to go on a long flight in three days. Then 3 days after that, I'm racing in a massive race. It's on TV. It wouldn't have made sense to go out this weekend and get battered unless there's a really good cause, if you see what I mean. So like, yeah, in that sense, I think about running. I'm like, okay, Callum, like, you've got a lot of travel. You've got a lot of racing coming up. That's not the most sensible thing to do. But then on the other hand, if it's a couple of weeks out or whatever, and to be honest, even then, like, I always think back to previous races and times in my life where I've gone out and, you know, had fun or done something or been on a night out and then ended up running kind of really well. I don't think obviously there is some impact. Like if you go out drinking, you're not going to sleep as well, or your quality of sleep isn't going to be good. That's like a scientific fact. But in terms of like your overall well-being and happiness and how that fits into your wider bit of training, I'm a massive fan of still having passions outside of running, doing things that you enjoy, going out and seeing people, doing things, you know, whatever it may be. And for me, I'm a massive, like, you know, I'll happily and enjoy the fact that I eat really well, that I don't drink during the week, that I, like, you know, I'm committed to my training and do all this stuff. With the other side of the coin being, when I want to do something nice, I can go and fully attack it and commit to it. So if I want to go to the Grand National, massive sporting event, first time I've been, really enjoy horse racing, you know, get drunk, eat a bloody, don't even know what I ate. I think I only had a meal deal, to be honest. That's not quite crazy, is it?
What was the meal deal? Do you remember?
No, I when I say meal deal, I actually only had a sandwich. So it's not really a meal deal at all, is it? That's just a meal.
No deal.
Yeah, zero deal. Zero deal to be had there. But yeah, good question, Tom. Kind of a mixture of both. And I'm very aware that while I'm trying to achieve certain things, that if I put myself in a little box and just, you know, eat salad, drink water and go to bed and have like 12 hours sleep a day, I might physiologically get a little bit better at running, but it wouldn't be sustainable over time because that wouldn't be fun for me at all. And yeah, I wouldn't have any kind of laughing and joking and any motivation to get up the next day and want to smash out a run, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Good answer.
Yeah. So on that note, though, what I did do is I didn't actually sink loads of pints at the Grand National. I was actually only drinking spirits that day because I actually find that if I drink a lot of beer... I do feel particularly hungover if I drink beer and wine, I found from previous experience. I was just thinking about the fact that I knew at like half eight the next morning I had to get up and do my long run, which had some progressive moments in it, and I thought, you know, like, don't really want to do this after having 10 pints or whatever. So yeah, great day, won a little bit of money, had a great time, weather was fantastic. I know there's been some protests and there's some kind of animal rights standpoints here that we won't delve too deeply into, but if that's your thing, I would recommend going because it is it's quality, great thing to tick off the bucket list. So that was Saturday. On to Sunday, I had a long run, 8:30 a.m. Liverpool on the River Mersey. I became second on River Mersey. I had
well, go 14 on, lad.
Miles. I had 14 miles, 2 miles, sorry. 2 miles easy. And then I had 10 miles progressive. So that was like 4 or 5 at around 6 minute miling, and then 4 or 5 cutting it down a little bit towards like 5:30s, 5:20s. I can't actually remember the specific splits of what I ran, but yeah, progressive 10 miles and then an easy 2 miles to finish it off. So it averaged out at 14 miles at 6:18s. So an hour and a half. And yeah, just had to get up and get it done. No breakfast, which was unfortunate, but luckily I'd taken a couple of gels with me. So I just smashed one of them before I set off and then had another one at halfway and I was all right. So yeah, that was a decent little week, 67.9 miles off 6 days of running. So pretty solid, couple of good sessions, nice little long run. And yeah, a good week overall.
That's a solid long run for a 1500 meter runner, I must say. I'm impressed.
Yeah, in the trenches, Callum.
Yeah, it was an all right one. Yeah, good pretty stuff. Good. Well, got to get strong. You look at the 1500 meter runners now, they all run like 13 minutes, 10 for 5K. So got to get strong somehow.
Mm. Yeah, very true.
Tom, you got anything for us from your week?
I mean, not really. I was gonna say, listening to your weeks, I feel so far removed from not running as like a sport, but like the actual act of running myself. Like when you're talking about splits for sessions and stuff, I almost feel like you're speaking a foreign language. It's weird how quickly you completely lose touch of that stuff. Yeah, I don't have a massive amount.
Since you ran?
Too long. It's like nearly coming up 8 weeks. I actually, just before we had this call, I had a call with Rose, the bone injury specialist. Mm-hmm. She's amazing, first and foremost. And she's setting up her own private practice. So once that's up and running, I'll make sure to get the link or get the name of it. And yeah, anyone who's dealing with a bone injury, I'd recommend have a chat with her, get in touch, because she's, yeah, she knows her stuff. But basically, I've been on crutches.
Kipchoge, if you're listening.
Yeah, go on, Kip, get involved. I've been on crutches for the last week now, just over a week. And yeah, I mean, first of all, they are a pain in the ass. I don't know if you boys have been on crutches before, but they are so, like, you take for granted having your hands, like being able to use them. So like, I'll do stuff walking around the flat, I'll be on my crutches and I'll make a bagel. And then I'll be like, right, so how am I going to carry this to the desk then? And you end up walking back without the crutches.
Well, that's an easy one to answer, right?
It's a crutch.
A bagel's got a hole in the middle, mate. You just spear it onto the handle. Obviously. You've picked the one food that actually is pretty all right to carry.
How big are your bagels?
And then you just butter it when you get to the desk.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit messy that, though, isn't it? All the crumbs in the carpet.
You then asked me. I delivered.
How would I hoover on the crutches, eh?
Just eat it off the floor.
Who's their emails on still? Get that off.
Sorry, I've got honestly no idea how you turn off the sound for your emails.
You're a bloody popular man, I must say.
Well, this one...
Who's emailing you at this time of the night? It's 9 o'clock.
In case you're listening, Billy Clark, this was actually... Billy Clark wants to connect with you on LinkedIn, so...
That was actually... I got an email at the exact same time from a scooter. You know those electric scooter companies? Because we had a write a story for the next episode. We had a right ball ache with some electric scooters through the streets of London over London Marathon weekend. But anyway, the recovery is going slowly, to be perfectly honest. Like, she still reckons I've got another week at least on crutches, and I can't do any cross training. I can't have an introduction back into cross training until I'm comfortable doing the hop test, which essentially, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's hopping on the affected leg. So until I can effectively hop on my right leg, only once, but without any pain or discomfort or anything, I'm not really going to get the all clear to start cross training. And that's even that is like a couple of weeks away. So I'm going to do the next call I've got with Rose in 2 weeks time. Just as a little check-in, she wants me to redo the hop test with her. And if I can do that without any pain, we can start doing some cross training stuff at long last. But yeah, it's very slow. And I think one of the problems is that with a bone, right, the recovery is so deeply correlated to sleep and just general recovery. And with work at the moment, like last week I was in Manchester, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you're talking, it's about 6 hours on the train up there. We had to do like a recce, so checking out locations and stuff for an Under Armour shoot. Then we're up early on the Wednesday for the actual shoot itself. And then we went straight from that to an event with a Manchester Young Professionals, which is like a running club in Manchester. Also, there was a bloke wearing your socks, Callum.
Oh, what was he called?
What was his name? I want to say Leslie, but I don't know if that's right. So let me check first.
I'll be able to, if it's something like that, I'll be able to find it. I don't recall
Leslie.
Okay.
Sorry, Leslie Running Journal is Let's Go Running on...
Which colour socks?
Good, isn't it, that? He was wearing the blue ones, the navy ones, TDP ones.
Oh, nice. Nice yeah. one.
He said he's got every pair of them. Every pair he's got. And he just bought your... It was the day that you dropped your new socks as well that sold out, we might add. And he just bought them as well. So that was lovely. I love seeing people out and about wearing like your clobber or... just people that listen to the podcast or just like proper embedded in the running community. It's nice. But anyway, that's a very, very long day. And then it was like 6 hours back on the train again the next day. So it's stuff like that, which really isn't helping with the recovery process. Cause there's a person who reached out. It was like, instead of focusing on being the best runner you can possibly be, you need to focus on being the most recovered you can possibly be. And I thought that was a nice way of putting it. And it's, that's what's pretty difficult at times with my line of work. So I'm doing all right, but it's just a painful process of recovery with a bone injury like this, because it's very hard to measure how much it's getting better. Because it's not one of those where, you know, the absolute worst thing that I could do is keep testing it. Like go for a little jog up and down the road and see if it's better, because all you're going to do is set yourself back further and further. You keep doing that. So it's that having faith in that fully offloading process and just, knowing that I will be able to do cross training at some point soon, but not yet. It's a bit annoying, really, to be honest.
Taking up any new hobbies?
Any new hobbies? No, I haven't, but I do need to. I think I really need to get creative with like an additional segment for the podcast, because I'm bored of just rattling on about still not running, still not much better. So I need a new segment that I can bring to the table. I was thinking about knitting, like if I just do something completely random.
A lot of the listeners did have some good ideas. I previously put this on the Instagram about what would you want to hear from Tom? And we've had loads of stuff like you having a rant, you having a meal of the week, like a recipe of the week that you give to people. I'll have to go back through. There's plenty of ideas. So if you don't want to take up anything in your real life, we can definitely make something fake on this podcast for you to pretend you're interested in, if you'd like.
Meal of the week's a good one.
Yeah, like that is a good one.
You have to
anything
have
spring
it,
to mind?
Though, yeah?
Oh, I have to have cooked it.
Yeah, you have to have cooked it, not just going out or ordering it or just making up, or just like, you can't just pick a food and be like, oh, that's my meal of the week, carbonara, you know?
Well, I haven't really eaten at home much the last couple of weeks, I'm afraid. So
maybe your meal of the week isn't the one to choose then.
Yeah. Don't think that's going to make great radio, though, that is it? Me talking about a peanut butter bagel that I ate. It's not that adventurous.
Maybe not.
I'll have a think, right? I'll see what I can rustle up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
This could definitely be good. Should we slide over to some race results then?
I think we should.
Cool. Well, there was seemingly loads of race results from this week. Obviously, we've been through Ben's main result, which is the only person that actually raced on the podcast. But there seem to be so many other marathons, going on internationally and in the UK, to be fair. There was the Boston UK Marathon, which I think is great, by the way, that they've decided to do that. Like, don't know how many years that's been around, but genius to just do their own Boston Marathon on the same weekend. I think that's class.
Yeah,
it was won by Richard Ollington in 2:30. 0:00. And a fun fact about Richard Ollington, if you look up the London Marathon 2019, he actually ran over a mile with Kipchoge at the front and still finished in 2:34.
Amazing.
Went to Cambridge Uni. So yeah, shout out Richard Ollington for that. And on the female side, it was Joanna Oregon who won in 2:50:21. So that was the Boston UK Marathon. I've got no idea if it's flat or hard or what the weather was like, but I thought that was a fitting result to add to the episode. Anyone else want to fire for a result, or do you want me to keep plodding on?
Yeah, you're doing a good job, mate. I reckon you crack on.
All right, you lads grab a little cup of tea. I'll take over from here. all the listeners have just skipped forward 10 minutes on this. All right, Manchester Marathon. This was another interesting one. This was won by Ignas Brasevicius,
something like that.
Ignas,
good,
well,
race though,
friend.
Wasn't it?
2:16:27. That's a great result for him. And it was a great race. Kieran Walker, give a shout out to him in second, 2:17:30. If you don't follow Kieran Walker from the Northeast Project on Strava, I suggest you do so, because he runs 130 miles a week, and he doesn't just do it for like 1 week and then drop back down. He does it for like 12 weeks in a row. His training is absolutely nuts. Yeah, he's only a young lad, I think 24, 25 maybe. But yeah, shout out to him. And the top three
big
of the Manchester
result.
Marathon were all SaySky athletes as well. So shout out to SaySky.
I saw that. I was wondering what was if there was something going on there, because you had Scott Cousins as well, who unfortunately didn't have the best day out there, but SaySky athlete
and
as well.
Ollie Lockley in third as well, SaySky. So yeah.
Well,
I guess it's, as the old saying goes, if you give kit to enough people, someone will win in it, eh? Anyway. I'm only kidding, Tayska. I'm only kidding. And on the women's side, Naomi Mitchell, who I believe runs for Reading, I think, won that in 2:31:27, which is a mega time, mega female marathon time. Because I think what's the Olympic standard for women? 2:26 or 2:29?
Yeah, I think so.
Something
2:26,
like that.
I think.
So 2:31 is that puts into perspective how good of a time that is. Because yeah, 5 minutes off for men, what would that put you at? That'd be about like a 2:13, right? Something like that. 2:12, 2:13.
Yeah.
So as to win Manchester in that time is cracking. And the final marathon on the UK list was the Newport Marathon, which was won by Dan Nash in 2:19:47 and Lizzie Diamond in 2:49:36. So again, some
great
pretty name. Good times. Yeah, good wins. And I believe Andy Rayner also ran Newport Marathon, the Forest 15 runner, and ran, anyone know his time?
2:40 he ran.
2:40 or 2:42, something like that.
Yeah, 2:40 something something.
Brilliant,
yeah,
man.
Big dog Andy, what a bloke. One of the nicest.
He's a lovely chap.
Yeah. 100%. Honestly, he's... If you don't subscribe to him on YouTube, if you don't watch his videos, I'd highly recommend it. He's one of the good blokes in the running community. Yeah, very chuffed for him.
Well done, Andy.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so that was the three marathons that happened in the UK. There was also a pretty good result at the Lincoln 10K, which would otherwise be a reasonably irrelevant race, to be honest. But Abby Donnelly finished first female, and I think she finished maybe sixth or seventh overall in the race in 31:42. And I believe, I've not double checked this, but I think it puts her 11th on the UK all-time list. I think 11th. But yeah, Abby, lovely girl, went to Australia with her in February. And yeah, she ran really well there. So carrying that form into some road racing, 31:42. Yeah, amazing run. And on the men's side, Jordan Skelly won in 30:19 to Lewis Jagger in second in 30:20. And because I don't know anything about this race, I've got no idea if they are good mates and maybe just, you know, pass through together. I've got no idea. But a second apart over a 10K race must have been pretty exciting if it was a race.
Yeah, that sounds spicy.
So yeah, pretty spicy one. Do either of you boys know anything about the Rotterdam Marathon?
Yeah, I know a little bit.
What happened?
So Bashir Abdi ran 2:03:47, which is some going that, isn't it, really? 2:03 is a sexy marathon time.
Very good. Yeah,
that is an attractive marathon time.
Yeah, and Eunice Chumba on the women's side, 2:20:31. And an honourable mention to Louise Small as well. I don't know if you, Ben, you know Harry Morgan, don't you?
Of course, jog on.
Yeah.
Jog on, Louise Small.
Jog on. Harry Morgan's better half, Louise Small. She ran 2:30. Oh, I haven't even got a bloody time up. She ran 2:31:53 at Rotterdam, which was a pretty big PB for her, I think. And yeah, she was at the Winter Run 10K series that I did back in February. And yeah, she's lovely. They're both really, really nice people. So yeah, chuffed for her. Is that another email?
Shout out, Louise. Just followed you on Instagram.
Was that another email that just pinged off?
Yeah, that was another email. Do you want to know who this one was from?
Go on then.
This is from Injury Active Clinic, Cambridge, saying, appointment reminder. Hi, Callum. Your appointment with Miss Emma Benton is tomorrow.
Oh, you got an injury?
No. I go for my massage every 2 weeks and it's tomorrow. So I get the ultimate.
Okay.
I'm liking this new segment, by the way. I think we should keep it. Don't turn off your notifications.
Enjoying it now.
The thing is, as well, just to show that I am respectful, I actually have muted all the group chats on WhatsApp. So, like, they're messaging now, but the noises are not coming through because I've learnt my lesson. But I've got no idea how you do it for email. So, sorry.
Whilst we're on the topic of Rotterdam, the only other thing that you boys might have seen is Bashir Abdi when he was shouting his teammate across the finish line. I'm going to butcher his name, but Net. Something like that.
Something, yeah.
I just needed to cover all bases. But no, what did he run? He ran like 2:06, I think.
Yeah.
No, he ran 4:15. Bashir Abdi was stood there for 2 hours.
He was training in the 10. I saw him a few times, actually.
Oh, yeah. But that,
so that I reckon really nice. He's been having a good run.
Yeah. It went a little bit viral on, you know, run_IX on Instagram.
They
post some cracking stuff, so follow them if you don't already. But they
unbelievable
posted a
video of me,
didn't they? Yeah,
they did indeed. Very Jesus. Thankful for that.
I just found that video. It's got 99,518 likes. Christ,
wow,
that's gone down well.
Hasn't it? That.
Anyway. Yeah, good page to follow if you like your running news. 1.8 million views. Wow. Who's that one from?
They're just rolling.
Sorry, guys. What you got to remember is it's 9 p.m., half 9 the time of recording. All of my clients are in the U.S., which is a minimum 5 hours behind. So I'm getting stuff to my work email as well. I can't reveal this one because obviously it's sensitive information, but this is from a guy called Craig. Sorry about that.
Cheers, Craig. Anything else to report?
Yeah, we got one more, which I'm not going to leave out, which was the National Road Relays. Central AC, Scottish team, they won this. Highgate were the first English team on the men's side. And on the women's side, Leeds City won. What I really liked about this is that Mark Scott and Andy Butchart both turned up and made appearances and ran really fast. They ran the fastest legs. So, good to have some top-level world-class runners in the club scene, which is good. Hopefully they continue to keep doing that. And also, you know, Stephen Scullion ran for Aldershot the other day at the Southern Relays, and we can get more of the kind of top level people jumping into the club scene. So yeah, I didn't want to leave that one out because I thought that was pretty
That's good to see. Yeah. Love to
it's
see
always
it.
Nice. Yeah, always nice to see, isn't it? When some
help bridge that gap a little bit.
Yeah. Well, last thing, boys, I mentioned it at the start. I got one listener question for you. Just from my side, if that's right. It's from a bloke called Marco who wrote in. Marco, thanks for listening as always. He says, gentlemen, if you're up for a run in October, may I suggest coming to Macedonia? Direct flight from London, cheap food and drinks, lovely weather. What else could you ask for? And I don't know how you pronounce this city, but it's called Scope. Scoop?
I'm way ahead of you. Way ahead of you, Callum. I've just Googled the pronunciation of this word. Are you ready? I don't know if it'll play through. Did you get that?
No, I didn't get that, mate.
Scorpia. There you go.
Scorpia. Okay, Scorpia. Nice. Scorpia. Scorpia marathon and half marathon. He did specify in his massage. He specified in his massage. Yeah, he specified in his Instagram message, Ben, that you would like it because the gradient's good, apparently. I don't know why he specified that you would enjoy it because it's flat.
I'd love
but
it.
He said, and I said, I did reply to him really politely saying, look, Tom's crocked right now. I do short distances and I've got no idea what Ben's doing. You know, the guy's a busy guy. But he did break it down. He said, look, Tom said on the podcast he's going to be back in 12 weeks or something, so it gives him for him to aim for in October. He said, for me, there's a half marathon, so it's a little shorter distance. And he said,
make your debut.
A flat marathon for Ben. So, yeah, who knows? October, Macedonia. You know, if the fans want it, we could be coming for you. So make some noise in Macedonia if you want to see that happen.
Do you know what? This place, which is pronounced...
Scorpia.
Absolutely. Hey.
I've got some pictures.
We start doing that for the names of athletes as well.
Yeah, I reckon so. But yeah, I've got some pictures up and it looks tremendous. You've got some lovely bridges, some like castles and stuff. Looks like a fantastic.
Yeah, it just look like it's got the remains of some Neolithic settlements from 4000 BC, I think.
It's the largest. I'll tell you what we could do. Macedonia. It's the country's political, cultural, economic and academic center. It's all happening there.
Interesting.
I'll tell you what we could do. Instead of racing it, we could just go there for the weekend and watch the race, film a podcast, just have a bit of a jolly, maybe like a pre-Christmas, run it three ways Christmas party.
Yeah, the Christmas, that classic October Christmas party will work well.
Yeah, we're getting it in early.
Yeah. Well, there's also a marathon relay we could do. We could split up the marathon between the three of us, try and dominate the relay.
The weather looks pretty good in is it October, did you say?
Yeah.
Highs of 20, lows of 7. So it gets a bit chilly in the
evening. Right, message or email if you're interested in joining part of this trip. And if there's a big enough group of listeners that want to go out and hit up Macedonia, then we can work it out.
We can make it happen.
Yeah, but I thought that was a good listener question, that one, that you actually...
That was brilliant.
You know, Marco, you really contributed to it. You've given us a real talking point that we will actually look to plan now. So
yeah, can you imagine if we had a crew of like, you know, 15, 20 people rocking up in Scorpia? That would be pretty special, wouldn't it?
Just run it three ways athletes.
Yeah, that would be good.
That's the dream. Track
club. Yeah.
Yeah.
£90 return some of these flights. That's not bad, isn't it?
Yeah, right. And entries only 25 euros to enter as well.
Should we go to Macedonia? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'll go
to Berlin or bloody wherever else for marathon or something, and we're off to Skopje.
Ben, if you could reach out to Skopje Tourist Board and see if they'll give us a bit of cash to cover their beautiful city, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm sure we can make it happen. I see what I can do. Everything's up.
Yeah. Anyway. Any other questions, or are we wrapping it up?
I think we'll wrap it up there.
Sounds good with me. What have we got going on the next episode? So not next week, but next episode, what have we got to discuss?
London Marathon, isn't it?
Yesterday, which we've also given away a few times on the pod, but no, it'd be good to do a bit of a deep dive into that. We were all in and amongst it. None of us were racing it this year, but no, it was a good day out, and we look forward to bringing to you that episode, hopefully week, if not early next week. But yeah, I think that pretty much sums up this week's episode. Anything else to add?
Nope. Cracking episode, boys. I'm glad we could squeeze it in. Listeners, thanks for bearing with us on this one. But yeah, excellent stuff, lads.
Absolute pleasure.
All right.